As always, I want to thank everyone for being here. We certainly do appreciate you being here because we seem to have quite a few missing today. So we want to remember those that aren't able to be here today for whatever reason. And we need to let them know that we didn't miss them being in our assembly. So we're going to be studying some things from God's Word today, and certainly do appreciate those that are visiting. Fills up some of the seats where we would normally have other folks, but thank you so much for being here today. We appreciate it so much. You know, when we look at God's Word and we think about things, and by the way, I just want to say, every Sunday when I come down, Brenda always gives me this good comment from our class, so we're going to have to encourage her to give those while we're still in the class. She gave a real good comment today talking about where God went. Certainly the faraway country is a country we're all looking for. It's heaven. That's where He's at. And of course, Abraham was seeking that country. So it was a very good comment. I want to talk about being spiritually clothed this morning. You know, many times clothing is used in the Bible to talk about being in a spiritual condition. And it's interesting because when we look at clothing, we think of, well, you know, physical clothing certainly covers the body. But in this case, spiritual clothing covers the spirit of the soul. It's the idea of looking at ourselves and how we are clothed. And when we think about it, we notice, for instance, in the 109th Psalm, verses 6 through 20. It's talking about, and again, I always encourage people to read these in context, but it said, a wicked man over him. He's talking about, David is, about those that are evil, those that aren't doing well. Those that would accuse others that are really they themselves are sinners. And let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he's judged, let him be found guilty. And let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children continually be vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also from their desolate places. Let the creditor seize all that he has, and let strangers plunder his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy to him, nor let there be any to father his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let his name be blotted out. And that's pretty serious. We'll see why. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. You think that he's not upset? You think he doesn't understand just how evil and wicked this person is? Let them continually be before the Lord. He's leaving this up to God that he may be cut off from the memory of them from the earth. Because he did not remember to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man that he might even slay the broken in heart. This is a very cruel person he's talking about. A person who cared nothing about folks. He treated them awful. As he loved cursing, so let it come to him. As he did not delight in blessing, so let it be far from him. And then, this is the clothing. As he clothed himself with cursing as with his garment. You ever been around someone, in this case probably cursing not the way we think today, but let's say that we're talking about cursing like we talk about people use filthy language, just flows out of their mouth. It's as if it's their clothing. That's all you can think about when you see them. It's attached to them. I remember one person in particular, I told him that I think that he struggled saying anything without putting some vulgar word in. He just could not speak. I told him, I said, there's a lot of words in the English language. You do not need to use any of those when you're talking to me. I perfectly understand what you're saying. Let it be to him like a garment which covers him, and for a belt with which he girds himself continually. Let this be the Lord's reward to my accusers and those who speak of evil against my person. So, leaving it up to God. But he said, you see, this sticks to this man. In Isaiah 50, 4 through 9, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as he learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. And some believe that he's not only talking about himself, but also about our Lord and Savior. For the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I've set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Their spiritual condition is terrible. The moth is eating them up. Figuratively speaking, inside, they're eaten up. When we look at this and we think about it, we need to be spiritually clothed. And there's lots of figures of speech that talk about this in the Bible. We need to understand those. When we look at those and we see them, for instance, sin can burn our spiritual clothing. What it'll do for us is it'll just singe us. In Proverbs 6, 27 through 29, he uses this analogy. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. You're going to burn yourself spiritually if you do that. If you commit fornication or adultery, you've burned yourself in your spiritual clothing. He talks about unlawful divorce covers one's garments with violence under the old law. In Malachi 2:16, for the Lord God of Israel said he hates divorce, for it covers one's garments with violence. That's pretty strong language. He's saying that they are inside a very violent person that would do this to someone else, would put their wives away for no reason, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. He said under that old law, they've been putting away their wives for no cause, just because they wanted to. And he said, it's nothing different than a violent man. You put on the clothes of violence, he says. Jude says something similar in Jude 22 and 23 when he's talking to those that are Christians about trying to save those who have fallen away. He said, on some have compassion in 22 and 23, making the distinction. But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. He's saying that as a result of the way they're acting fleshly, it's destroying them spiritually. They're wearing that spiritual garment and it's being destroyed. And that garment is going away. And pretty soon, if you don't pull them out, they're going to be unclothed. In Revelation 16, 15, we must not be spiritually naked. We cannot go around spiritually without our clothes on. We need the clothes that God talks about in Revelation 16, 15. Behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. He's not talking about physical garments here. He's talking about spiritual garments. You better keep them. You better work hard to make sure you're clothed spiritually. In Revelation 3, 18, talking to Laodiceans, I counsel you, these folks thought they had it made. These folks thought that they had everything in life. They had all the clothes. They had all the ointments. They had all the jewelry. They had everything going for them, physically. So he's going to use that to talk about them spiritually. He said, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. He's not talking physical gold. Spiritual gold. You come, you work for it, that you may be rich. And put on white garments, that you may be clothed. You need to clean yourself up. You need to, as he talked about them, they were lukewarm. And he was getting ready to vomit them out of his mouth. They needed to get their clothes back on, their spiritual clothes. And they had to get them from him, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. You are going to stand before me completely spiritually naked. You're not going to have anything to show for it. You need to have your clothes on. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. And they were known for their eye salve, that it would help people that had eye problems. God wanted Israel to understand this need. Christ quotes from this about himself in Luke 4, verse 18. In Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. These are all the things Jesus talked about himself doing. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. To console those who mourn in Zion. And this is so beautiful. To give them beauty for ashes. In other words, instead of being sorrowful and they're in rolling around in ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Now, instead of what they would have used when they were mourning, now it's for joy. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That spiritually, they have a spirit. They have a garment of praise. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. By the spiritual clothing that we put on, we glorify God. So what are some types of spiritual clothing? Well, in 1 Peter 5:5, he talks about one type that all of us should put on, and especially those that are young. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And you think about this for a moment, and I've said this before. I think it was Mac Davis sang a song, "It's hard to be humble when you're as great as I am," and I'm probably misquoting those words, but it's something similar to that. And that's the attitude of a lot of people, that spiritually they're very arrogant. That's what he's talking about. A spiritual arrogance. It's an arrogance that comes out in a person who thinks. Now, we've studied today about the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees. They were spiritually arrogant. They weren't humble at all. They had no humility. They were not clothed with humility. And he said, we can be by being submissive to one another. But another way, another type of clothing that we need to be put on is Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. You think about, now let's go back a few where it was prophesied about Christ. And when it was prophesied about Christ in the previous verses of this, he was talking about the joy that people would have. And that they would put on the clothing of gladness and then of praise. So now, the reason is because God clothed people, in our time, with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Before going to a wedding, the bride and the bridegroom fix themselves up to present themselves to each other. Why? Because they want each to see the other in their best possible state at that wedding. What's it saying? Well, obviously in this new kingdom, we are the bride of Christ. We should be fixing ourselves up because He put on us the garments of salvation through His Son, and He has covered us with a robe of righteousness. But also we need to have this, be clothed with this. In Psalm 30, verse 11, He said, "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness." You ever think about this? We go through life sometimes and we are very sad. We don't maybe literally put on sackcloth. The idea of putting on sackcloth is a very rough clothing. And it would remind you of something that was going on, either maybe in your own life with sins or something very bad that was going on. So they would put on this sackcloth and it would be very rough against their skins and they would walk around with that on as a reminder of the things that were going on until those things would cease. It would make me think of David and others that would do this on certain occasions. So he said, "You have put off my sackcloth." In other words, you've taken away my spiritual sorrow and clothed me with gladness. And think about that, to be clothed with gladness. And Zechariah 3, one of the most beautiful passages. It is such a tremendous passage of Scripture. I love this passage because Zechariah was one of the latter prophets, and he would be writing about what was going to happen. And they were trying to restore things back to their original. And they were having a difficult time doing this after the Babylonians had destroyed most of what they had. And so, as a result of that, Zechariah talks not only about that time period after that, but he also talks about the future time when the Messiah would come. But there's a need for something. They have a priest. His name is Joshua. And Joshua is now being approached to take on this role of high priest again because, you know, we've talked about this. They had failed in this. And we talked about Josiah had even brought some things back while he was king. But think of this. Everything's been destroyed. They've been trying to bring everything back. They've been trying to rebuild Jerusalem. They've been trying to do all of these things. And finally, here's Joshua, and he's being approached. And it says, "Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments." He wasn't physically clothed with filthy garments. But spiritually, he had on some filthy garments. You see, he hadn't been offering sacrifices for himself. He hadn't been offering sacrifices for the sins of the people. He's in a bad condition. And we know that the high priest needed to make sure that he could do that. And he was standing before the angel. So this angel approaches Joshua in this. "Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, 'Take away the filthy garments from him.'" Just remove them. Get them off of him. "And he said to him, 'See, I have removed your iniquity from you.'" Have you ever thought about your sins as just walking around? I tell you, every once in a while, I get so dirty, don't you, that I just look at myself and go, "Man, I don't even want to be seen by anyone. I just need to get home and take a quick shower." A few of you may have seen me that way. Sorry about that. But you get so filthy and dirty and you stink. You can't hide it. Everybody looks at you and goes, ugh. You know, it's gross. Just think the worst, grossest way you've ever looked when you looked at yourself in a mirror. And then you start to see how God looks at sin. Spiritually, take away the filthy garments from Him. See, I've removed your iniquity from you. I will clothe you with rich robes. Who does the taking away of sin? God. He can do it. Joshua had a good heart. But Joshua didn't know what to do. But he's finding out what to do. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and they put the clothes on him. And the angel of the Lord stood by. He's putting back on him, if you will. He took away his sin. But we'll note in the second lesson some importance about maybe the turban and some other things about a high priest. So these white garments. Revelation 3:5, again, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. If iniquity is removed out of our life, we stand before him in white garments. And there will be a permanent time, but now we need to have them on now. In Revelation 3:18, we read this earlier. He wanted them to buy from him white garments that you may be clothed. We need to seek it out from God. How do I get the white garments on spiritually? Revelation 7:9. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, and I think he's talking about all previous people who had lived now that Christ had died, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. But again, sometimes our spiritual clothing is sackcloth. Sometimes I get myself in trouble. Sometimes my sins, and I need to put on some spiritual sackcloth. I need to look at myself and say, I need the roughness against me. I need to understand and know that I need my life to be corrected. I also made sackcloth my garment. I became a byword to them. In Jeremiah 6:26, O daughters of my people, dress in sackcloth and roll around in ashes. Make mourning as your only son, most bitter lamentation, for the plunderer will suddenly come upon us. And I don't know that he's saying strictly they needed to do it, but they needed to have that type of heart. And we know what condition they were in as far as Jeremiah was concerned before the Babylonians would come. But we must be protected. You see, we have on this clothing, but we learn from Ephesians 6 that we need some protection. That we need to be able to stand there also in our white garments, but we need some protection on outside of that. And he would talk about those things, and he would give us those things in verse 13 starting, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Sometimes just standing there in the white garments isn't enough. We need to be able to stand. We need something to protect those white garments, if you will. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And every time now that I read this, I think of Kyle putting up the picture of the soldier. I don't know about the rest of you, but that kind of helps us think about this. That is a protection against a spiritual protection. It's the whole armor of God. If I just take up some of this, it's not enough. I need it all. I need my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I've got to go with that gospel. I've got to use it. It's what directs my feet where to go. My waist has got to be girded with truth. I've got to have something around me, all the way around me, that covers me as far as my waist is concerned with truth. The breastplate of righteousness. You know, we just read that he would make them that way. He would clothe them with righteousness. The shield of faith, so that I can hold it out and I can protect myself against anything. That when someone questions me, I give them the answer. When I try to talk to them about God's Word, the answer comes from God's Word. And I need the helmet of salvation. I need my mind protected. I don't know about the rest of you. It is so easy, isn't it, to get into things, to not do things that we need to be doing, to sometimes maybe not say the right things to people. We don't let our mind, you know, as someone said, our tongue's in drive and our brain's in neutral. It's like we just don't think. We need to be thinking. That's why it needs to be the helmet of salvation around that. Keep it that condition. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We think about this, we need it. And now I want to finish up the lesson about being permanently clothed. You see, I hope I'm temporarily clothed with all of these things that we just talked about. That I have on my white garments because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That I have all of those things. But let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5. It is such a beautiful passage of Scripture. It has been one of the most comforting passages of Scripture to me, I think, in my life. In chapter 4, 16 through 18, Paul had talked about he understood the fact that the physical was going away. That he was slowly dying. That he was not going to live forever. And he also understood that God had already told him that he was going to actually die a very bad death. But when you look at this and you think about it, he said, but I'm not concerned about that because the inward man is getting younger all the time. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Being renewed day by day. And then he talks about this. For we know that if our earthly house, this body, this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God. When you're young, you don't think about that. That's why I think it's very good to take young people to let them see death. To let them understand it's coming. It can come soon, it can come late. But I'll tell you something. It is coming. We have a building from God. A house not made with hands. Eternal in the heavens. What a precious thought. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Wanting that. Desiring that. Understanding that this body is just going away from me. That it's not as comfortable as it used to be. That it doesn't do the things it used to do. It's okay. I need to be clothed with a habitation from heaven. If indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. That I need my spiritual clothing. That I'm looking forward to day when I get it permanently. Then I don't have to concern myself with any of this. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed. Note that. Like the clothes. The white clothes are great, but we get more. That's what he's saying. Further clothed, even more. We want to, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as guarantee. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, or rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. If we fully understand what it means to be out of this body finally, it's a permanent residence with God, with a new body. Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. I wanted to read that because that's telling us that we need to be telling other people about this. He says there's a transformation takes place. That this body, I don't need anymore. This body I can do away with. I can't personally do it, but God can do it for me. And Paul was looking forward to that time he could be, and he said he hadn't counted himself to have apprehended in verse 13. But in verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's He going to do? Who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. And it's a permanent change. In 1 Corinthians 15, that spiritually, I can be clothed, if you will, forever. And there's a discussion of this, and I would encourage anyone to go back and read all of 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 is talking about the resurrection. He's talking about the different types of bodies that have been given to animals and all of the things of life, the sun, the moon, the stars, all of those things. But he said, if God can do all that, don't you understand that He can make you one that is eternal? Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all be changed. And in a moment, we shall all be changed, excuse me. We shall not all sleep. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Well, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at this and you think about this, he's saying simply this, that I can have this permanent covering, that I can have this permanent ability to exist forever. What a wonderful thought. And so now we go back to Revelation 7, when all those folks were before him, and I believe he's talking about all the faithful from times past. When we start with verse 9, we read this earlier. And after verse 9 we did. And after these things I looked, and behold a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues standing before the throne before the Lamb. How are they clothed? With white robes, with palm branches in their hands. And crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessed and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these that are arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said unto him, sir, you know. And he said, these are the ones who have come out of great tribulation and have washed their spiritual clothing and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's an interesting concept. In the Old Testament, he talks about, and I didn't put this scripture down, but he talks about the fact that you could know when someone had been working in the grapes. You want to guess how, right? So you would know automatically. Right? Their clothing is going to now be permanently stained. Their feet, the stains last for a long time. This is interesting because you take blood and you get it on something. It's very hard to get it out. This blood works just the opposite of that. This blood completely turns it white. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They will neither hunger anymore, neither thirst anymore, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall lead them into living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. What a beautiful thought. To be permanently clothed, to be permanently in the new body, to be permanently with God forever, to never have to concern myself with sin or anything anymore. I look forward to that day. I appreciate the life I have here, but there's going to come a day when I really, really want, I'm sure, to leave this one. Today, if it happens to be that day, so be it. If we expect to be further clothed, then we must be properly clothed spiritually today. We must have on proper spiritual clothing to receive the permanent white apparel in heaven. We must also protect ourselves, though, while we're on earth with the armor that God has given us. And His Word is the perfect perfect protection from sin. To fully have on the armor, we must seek out from the Bible the proper things to do to be ready both offensively and defensively. I have to be prepared to be able to give an answer. We must be prepared. Have you prepared for heaven today? Start today by putting on Christ. Galatians 3:27, for as many as you are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Talk about your spiritual clothing. Couldn't get any better than that. You need to be immersed in water for the remission of sins, according to Galatians 3:27. So today, have you put on Christ? If not, certainly, this is one of the times we offer to make it easy for anyone. We're going to be singing a song. If any have any needs, need to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ in any way, we would encourage you to think about it and do it while together we stand and sing.